Father, we stand in awe of who you are. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies and grace, as we repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Lord, we repent for not trusting you in all things, in any area where we have rejected you and relied on our own strengths. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let your grace abound, and let the anointing break every yoke of bondage. Position us to where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. And give us a thirst and hunger with boldness to press in till we've touched your heart, your garments, your will, and your life. Open our eyes to see you, Master, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have, filling us afresh. Yes, filling us afresh today. Loosing us from self, entanglements, and affairs of this world. Loosing us from every area of deception, delusion, false expectations, false doctrines, and unfulfilled vows. We repent. And we ask, Master, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would draw us to you. Hide us in the secret place and feed us from your throne room. As your word goes forth to each and every one here today, that by your stripes we be made whole, healed, and free in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good day to die to yourself. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 3, please? Genesis chapter 3. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Genesis chapter 3. Let's read it together. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" Now I want you to understand something. The serpent is a representation of the devil, for those that don't know. He was known as Lucifer. He rebelled against God. God sentenced him to the earth and its atmosphere. So the ruler of this earth right now is Satan, known as the serpent, the dragon, and so forth. And he was in the garden. And the reason why he was in the garden is because he had a right to the garden. And being in the garden, there was a tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The good and evil represented the serpent. And he spoke to the woman. Now I'm sharing with you that it wasn't just one time he tried to speak to her. He's been trying to speak to her for a long time. And he finally got her attention. And the woman said, in other words, she responded. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." In other words, he lied to her. But there was something going on here that's more important than you realize. One of the things he was trying to do is prevent the trust in God and bring the trust in him. He was trying to replace God. I mean, he's been trying to do that for a long time. Does everybody understand? In verse 5, "For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of it its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And we know that everything fell. The prince of power of air took over, and death began to reign. Adam and Eve no longer ran the world to the leading of the Lord. The serpent ran the world and is still the ruler of this earth today. Is everybody with me? So the serpent conceived Eve to mistrust God and trust in the devil, even though she knew God. Does everybody get it? Even though you're walking with the Lord, let me tell you, the devil doesn't stop trying to get you to mistrust God and trust in Him. I mean, if you look all around, you know, I mean, you can pull out a dollar bill and it says, "In God we trust." I remember going to court in those days many times. And I remember behind the judge, it used to say, "In God we trust." It used to be on federal buildings, "In God we trust." Everything was associated in God we trust. But we know now that those things have been slowly removed. I mean, there used to be prayer in school and trusting in God, and all that's being removed. There's no longer prayer in public school. You have to go to a private school, and even some of the private schools are dangerous. I mean, the safest thing is a homeschool. But understand that right now, that fight is not over with, and it continues. The difference between "in God we trust" or "in self we trust." In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 1, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God," these are angels, "saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and that they took wives for themselves, of whom they chose." Now these sons of God were fallen angels. These are angels of Satan that put on flesh and came into the natural realm. Is everybody with me? And they are chained to this day for judgment. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God," the angels, "came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, and men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Why? Because Satan's angels put on flesh, came into the natural realm, took human women, took them as wives, fornicated with them, produced offsprings. And from that point on, all the character of evilness was now progressed in a human form. And the whole earth's thoughts were nothing but evil intents continually. And the Lord was very sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his spirit. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made man." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I want you to see here that Satan now sends his angels to put on flesh with wisdom and supernatural abilities to remove the trust in God to trust in evil. He produced offsprings. Now I want, please get this, that when God brought the flood, all of those who died in that period of time that were offsprings of darkness, when they died, left their spirits. Those spirits are called demons. And those demons are looking for individuals to possess because they are now a disembodied spirit looking for a body. These are where demons come from. And these are unseen spirits. So Satan, again, he sentenced angels. He put on flesh. Of course, he wouldn't come because he knows what was going to happen. Because God took them and bound them. And they're chained now for judgment. And Satan knows that if he was to come into the earth and put on flesh, he'd be bound. That's why there's a specific time in the book of Revelation that says, "And Satan will be bound 1,000 years. Why? Because he will come into the earth. He will put on flesh. And God will use him for his wrath. And then he will take him and chain him for 1,000 years. Just like these angels that put on flesh. So again, Satan's angels came in, put on flesh. They were full of wisdom and supernatural abilities and to remove the trust of God and put it into trust of evil. And this is where many myths started from, like Zeus and all of these other goofy religions and all these Greek mythologies and all of this other stuff started with these angels of Satan who put on flesh because they had supernatural powers and they had wisdom. And their whole purpose was is to remove the trust in God and put it in the trust of self or evil or in man. Why? Because they know that the word says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and cursed is the man who trusts in man. So we see that he produced these unseen spirits, expanding his kingdom to influence mankind to mistrust God and to trust in the tree of good and evil. Keeping them, keeping mankind in a temporary realm and blinding them until death. So his purpose was to constantly lead mankind in the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which will continually keep them blind. So people think that they're good.
Hello, I'm a good person.
Hell is filled with good people. There's only one way home. See, those who eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil do not understand righteousness. They understand good and evil. But only those who eat of the tree of life understand righteousness, because the righteousness does not come from man, it comes from God. See, so the devil, his whole purpose from the beginning is to exalt himself as God so that people can trust in him and not trust in God. Even though there's places you can still go to and you can pick up money and it says in God we trust. But now we know that the God that they're talking about is not the God that I serve. There is a God of money too. And the Bible says the love of money is the root to all evil. Go to Genesis 11. So God destroyed the earth with the flood. And all those demons were looking for somewhere to go. In Genesis 11 and verse 1. I want you to begin to look at this, because this whole time, the whole purpose was to remove in God we trust so that it would be in evil we would trust. See, people became a little bit wise to evil, so good had to be produced. So now people who thought that they were good were okay, they were safe. I'm a good person. Sorry. In verse 1, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Shinar is Iraq. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Now remember, they were all one language now. And they said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us make a what? Name for who? Ourselves. Not our God. Not our Creator. But for ourselves. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So they wanted to make a name for themselves. Build a tower that would reach heaven. So that they could be like God. So they can make a name for themselves, but not a name of God. Now, they also wanted to build this tower because they did not want to be scattered through the earth like they were with the flood. So they thought if they could build a tall enough tower, they could escape the flood of God, because they knew what they were doing was wrong. Are you with me? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all of the earth. Again, after the flood, the influence continued to mistrust God and trust in self, which is the offspring of darkness. Wanting to make a name for themselves above the name of God, they built a tower to escape from the judgment that would cause a scatter through the flood that happened during Noah's time. But God messed their language, their understanding up. Man, he interfered. He interceded. He blew their whole theology and everything else and scattered their plans. And what did he do? Because they had understanding and they had wisdom. Does everybody understand this? They had understanding and wisdom, but that understanding and wisdom was not from above. It was from beneath. So with that understanding and wisdom, nothing would be withheld from them if they did it in unity. So God came down and scattered their language so they could no longer communicate, preventing or delaying an inner communication with man in hope of the communication with God and trust would be established. So here, I please understand, it's just another move in the area where Satan is always trying to bring that arena into your life and mankind to not trust in God, but to trust in yourself. Or to trust in anything else. Has everybody got it? In Genesis 22. Doesn't the Bible say trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding? Then he goes further and he talks about, don't forget about giving of your first fruits. Your first increase. Because he knows that there would be a controversy there. That people would begin to trust in their materialism and mistrust in him. Even though God would bless them with the talents to begin to bring forth materialism to help life easier, but they would begin to trust in their materialism instead of trusting in God. But you got to ask yourself, what if something were to happen to where no more doctors, no more pharmacies, no more place you can go buy food, no more place you can go buy clothes, no more television, no more phones to communicate. No more transportation. No matter what you try to do, you try to start your car and it wouldn't work anymore. What would happen if all of these things no longer worked in your life that you trusted in? What would you do? Well, I'm telling you, it's going to come to a point where all of these things are going to manifest. And you've got to come to a point where you are totally trusting in God. In God, we trust, and not in good and evil or materialism. In Genesis 22, is everybody there? In verse 15, read it with me, please. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, who was Isaac, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Whoa! In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. God chose a nation and a promise seed to carry the truth through his descendants and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That a nation would be birthed called Israel, representing the creator of heaven and earth with signs and wonders through the life of Israel and the people that he would establish, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the great I am of Moses. Everyone say the great I am. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. In God we trust. Is everybody okay? Is everybody there? Revelation 12, verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and under her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And he's talking about Lucifer, who became now Satan, because he was in charge of a third of the angels. He was an archangel. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. Now, I want to understand, the word of God is three-dimensional. And it also represents past, present, and future. But you got to be in the spirit to understand what God is speaking at and what time. If it's not God's will, it's not God's time. So in this scripture, he's talking about three things. He's talking about the woman Mary who will give birth. He's talking about Israel. And he's talking about the body of Christ. The three women. Are you with me? But right now I'm talking about the area where powers of darkness already know in the spirit that a child would be born. Now look at in verse 4 again. And it says that the serpent, the dragon or whatever, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. These are Satan's angels. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was. What? Born. What child is this? Jesus. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Does everybody see that? So we see war broke out in the unseen realm to prevent the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the I Am of Moses, to set things straight and become a human child to produce his own blood and leave his spirit, dying for all mankind on the cross, and become the God of the earth, Gentiles, and heathen nations that would follow him, removing all pagan rituals and altars and worshiping of all demons and self-preservation of surrender to the living God, Jesus, and fulfilling the first commandment that you shall not serve or worship any other gods, for God, Jesus, is the Lord God, nor shall you make any images or idols and worship them either. Are you listening? So again, here we are that Satan's kingdom again was trying to prevent the truth from coming forth so people would not trust in their true creator, but they would mistrust in him and trust in the God of this world, who was known as Satan. And John 1, and that fight still continues. It's a daily fight, isn't it? John 1, verse 6. John chapter 1 and verse 6. Everybody there? In God we trust. Who will you trust? Would you read it? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And the word believe means follow. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's why you must be born again by spirit. So we see we have a right to become children of God to those who follow him. So there are many people who say, well, I believe in Jesus, but they don't follow him. They still trust in their self. Remember what happened to Eve. Eve believed in God. She saw God face to face. She spoke with God, and so did Adam. Yet the serpent was still there trying to cause a mistrust between her and God, and he succeeded. But thank God that the Lord came in, Jesus, who came in the flesh, died for us, produced his own blood, and gave us his spirit, because even now that we have his spirit, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, it allows me and you to overcome temptation to mistrust God. Are you listening? But that's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit. That's why it's important to be in fellowship. That's why it's important to be consistent. See, the devil looks for any place he can get you so that you can mistrust God. Go to John 6. John chapter 6. You know, you look at what's going on in the world right now. Money and everything is a mess. Everything is a mess right now. People don't know what's going to happen. People are walking in fear. The stock market crashes off and on. Eventually it's going to crash and not come back up. But where are people really putting their trust? And one of the things that the powers of darkness are still influencing every area, even government and everything else. So that people begin to put their trust in them. And they will fall too. In John chapter 6 and verse 35. And would you read it with me? And Jesus said to them, I am the same I am that Moses spoke to. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me, or what's the word believe? Follow. And he who follows me shall never what? Thirst. Wow. Does everybody get this? He who believes in me, follows me, shall never hunger nor thirst. Why? Because he will provide. Let's go a little further. Go to verse 48. What does he say? I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and what? Not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He is the I am, the bread of life, the one that we trust. He says, eat and feed on my faithfulness. What you're doing right now is you're eating his word. This is bringing life to you, isn't it? Go to John 15. John 15. You know, there's many people you can talk to, and you can ask them, truly, can you truly say, in God I trust? Do you only trust him for certain things, or do you trust him for everything? In John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the what? The true vine. And my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can what? Do nothing. Do nothing. And this is an area where we are totally trusting in the Lord, eating, drinking from his throne room. Drinking from the table he prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Worshiping him. That's how you drink. Worship. You eat by his word. It's called communion, isn't it? So we see here, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. Go to John 14. In verse 6. Read it with me. Jesus said to him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for through me. Wow. So we see here, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the life giver. And you must trust in me. In Revelation chapter 1. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. In the park. Revelation chapter 1. Now please understand that the Spirit is giving us this because you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be tempted. You are tempted continuously in who you're trusting in. Are you trusting in man or are you trusting in God? Are you trusting in good or are you trusting in God? Are you trusting in evil or are you trusting in God? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your doctor or are you trusting in God? And I'm not telling everybody not to go to doctors. And I'm not telling you to lay down your medication. But I'm telling you, who your final trust is in is what will manifest. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the what? Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the what? Almighty, the I am. In Revelation 22, verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I am what? Coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs. Now, I want you to understand, dogs means demonized individuals, not animals. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Wow. Go to Revelation 1 again for a moment. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen and amen. And I have the keys of what? Hades and of death. Wow. So he has the keys. So without having knowing him and abiding in him, those keys of death, hell, and the grave are in under the hands of Satan. Do you understand that? In other words, who you serve when you die is where you go. And the only way to be free from death, hell, and the grave is to follow the Lord, to trust in the Lord all the way. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. Would you read it with me, please? And we have such trust. Say trust. Through Christ toward God. That not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. So we're seeing here that there's trust through Christ toward God as ministers of the new covenant, which is the ministry of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of life. That's the word Spirit, meaning what you speak. So what you confess is what you possess. So we trust in him in this arena that whatever we ask, we receive as long as we follow. And of course, we don't ask amiss. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Would you read it? Yes, we had the what? Sentence of death where? In ourselves. Why? Self is an offspring of darkness, isn't it? That we should not trust where? In ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You remember when the Lord tested Abraham to kill Isaac? Does everybody remember that? But see, the Lord told Abraham that he would be the promised seed. So Abraham knew that if he killed his son obedient to God, that God would raise him from the dead. Because he was the promised seed. He trusted what God said. He believed and he followed. No matter what. And it says here in verse 9 again, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from the so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. I'm telling you, he will still deliver you if you trust him. One of the problems is people can't wait. If you can really trust him, you can wait. You can say all of these things. You can lift your hands and worship God and tell him, oh, Lord, I trust you with all my heart. Oh, you're my everything. But when things aren't going your way, move out of God's time. That is not trust. It's not trust at all. Psalm 18. Is everybody there? Verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from my enemies. Does everybody see that? So I'll be saved from what? My enemies. Go to Psalm 40. And we'll close here. We got more, but this is enough. In God we trust. In God we trust. You know when you run out of money, you know what God says? So. I didn't say so what. He says so. Remember the woman that had nothing left and she gave of the two mites? And the Lord stood over that. He didn't stand over the ones that gave out of their abundance. He stood over the ones that gave out of their lack. See, what you sow is what you reap. See, people are so afraid right now that they're building themselves up finances. Yes, I'm going to need all this before I... And they've stopped giving to God's kingdom because they're now trusting in themselves, even though they proclaim to trust in God. It's called hypocrite. Well, you came to hear the truth, didn't you? Hallelujah. Psalm 40, verse 1. I what? I waited patiently for the Lord. Is there someone who trusts? Amen. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Why? Because he waited patiently. He didn't go out and buy what he wasn't supposed to buy. Hello? He didn't go out and do what he wasn't supposed to do. He waited. Waited. See, waiting is a process of denying yourself. If you can't deny yourself, you cannot trust in God. Anxiousness is a promoter of self. It's also pride. Who are you trusting in today? It says, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in what? Fear or bring reverence. And then many will what? Trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to what? Lies. To lies. See, in this you will be able to discern, and I'm telling you, people are being lied to left and right in this country. From the White House all the way down. There is false hope. There is deception. And it's not the individuals. It's the influence still that is still coming from the time of the flood. Has everybody got it? It's still coming from the Garden of Eden when Lucifer convinced Eve to mistrust God and trust him. It's still happening. Be careful and be wise. Stay filled and stay prayed up. Stay in fellowship and continue to sow. Because the adversary, the devil, is seeking whom he can devour. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord has come to bring you life and life more abundantly. That does not come without cooperation. Amen. Now may the Lord grant you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. May the Lord grant you the strength and the anointing to say no to the temptation of mistrust and to say, yes, I do trust to the everlasting King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.